is the day of harvest, and what a day, isn't it? Just amazing, the sun shining from every side. And it's lovely to have visitors with us too today. You're very welcome. And our special visitor, we have the Right Reverend Richard Clark, known to many of us at least. You're very famous. You were on television a lot. I was delighted when Bishop Richard agreed to come and share with us. Was it February you retired?
Before the lockdown.
And I think I got in pretty quickly after that because I knew he'd be wanted everywhere. So I was delighted when he agreed to come and share with us. And even though he's technically retired, we won't let him be idle. So it's lovely, and we look forward to what you share with us later on. And welcome to, I think we're all inside the church today. We have space for people if there's extras outside. And it's wonderful that we can all be together in these times. It's so important to be reminded of God's goodness and what season it is in the strange times that we're living in, and to have the church beautifully decorated. And blessings to those who will listen to the audio recording of the service later today in your home. Harvest Festival has its origins in the Jewish feast of the ingathering. It is a thanksgiving for God's care towards his people, for his gifts that produce the harvest, the sun, the rain, the soil, the seeds, the plants, the animals, and for his partners in the harvest, farmers, fishermen, and producers. So today we come together to worship God, to thank him for journeying with us through the year. We have come in past the fields and the gardens and the sea, and so we want to give thanks to God for the harvest and to ask his continued blessing on the work of our hands and the works of others as well. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness.
And perform the Lord's songs.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his.
We are his people,
the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise, and give thanks to him, and praise his name.
The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations.
Well, I'll ask you to be seated for our first hymn. We have been humble every Sunday, but we have been blessed to have Eva with us today, and Eva's going to sing, O Lord my God, when I am also wonder. some moments to come before God in prayer. Let us confess our own sins and the sins of our society in the misuse of God's creation. God, our Father, we are sorry for the times when we have used your gifts carelessly and acted ungratefully. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy, forgive us and love us. We admit that while we enjoy the fruits of the harvest, we sometimes forget that you have given them to us. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy,
forgive us and help us.
We belong to a nation that is full and satisfied, but we often ignore the cry of the hungry. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We are thoughtless and do not care enough for the world that you have made. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We store up goods for ourselves alone and often act as if there was no God or no heaven. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy, forgive us and help us. Heavenly Father, we confess these sins and in all our misdoings. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your mercy, forgive us and help us. May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive our sins, restore us in his image, and grant us the assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we collect our thoughts together before the readings, we have our collect for harvest thanksgiving. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading is a reading from Psalm 67. The nations are called to praise God. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next hymn is Think of a World Without Any Flowers. You're very welcome to hum along.
Thank you.
second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and scratches it away, what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no roof, he will last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord.
The words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I suppose that harvest festivals are so much part of our church's year that it's sometimes difficult to get our heads around the fact that it is, in fact, a very recent part of Anglican worship. It's within the last 150 years that we've had harvest festivals as we would know them, whether in the Church of Ireland or elsewhere. So it is a relatively new festival for us. But of course, as we heard at the beginning of the service from the rector, it's based on the worship of our ancestors in the faith, the Jewish people. And every year there is a Jewish festival in the autumn, a week long. This year it will begin next Friday and continue on for a week until the following Friday. And it's a festival known as Sukkot. We sometimes know it as the Festival of Tabernacles or the Festival of Booths. And it's one of a number of Jewish festivals that take place during the autumn. But this particular one, the Festival of Booths, Sukkot, is at the conclusion of harvesting, and it serves as a reminder every year of how God took care of the Jews in the desert after they had escaped out of Egypt. And to this day, strict Jews, Orthodox Jews, will often make a little tent or a hut, a sukkah. They will make one in their garden. And for the 7 days of the festival, they will move out of the house, into the garden, into sometimes it's just a tent or sometimes a little homemade hut, and they'll live there for the 7 days of the festival, not only sleeping there, having their meals there, and using that little temporary shelter as their home. It's a reminder, of course, of the 40 years when the Jewish people lived without homes of their own, when they lived in tents in the wilderness. And it serves as a symbol of trusting in God. Trust in God, the conviction that God is to be trusted not only in those times of comfort or security or apparent safety, but that God is also the God of the desert, the God of the wilderness, the God of insecure times when we do not know what is going to happen next. And of course we could say today that he is the God of precisely where you and I are at the moment in the midst of COVID-19. Yes, very often our harvest festival is a matter of thanking God, rightly thanking God, thanking him for the security that we know in this part of the world. Because even when here in Ireland we've been in a situation of fairly constant rain, or whether there's been more rain, a near drought, the worst that we would have faced would have been the possibility of an increase in the price of food in the coming winter. But of course, in the shadow of this pandemic, we really do now know the meaning of insecurity, of not knowing what will happen in the future. So we're reminded this year that God is, of course, there to be worshipped and to be glorified at all times, but we're reminded also that he's to be glorified even in times of insecurity, as much as in times of plenty. And at Sukkot, the Jewish people remind themselves that our debt to God is not simply for what we might call service of rendered, but God is to be worshipped for his sovereignty, for his power, at all times, and to be thanked indeed for our very existence. We need, if you like, to recover a sense of real vulnerability in the face of God. In the Hebrew scriptures, one of the less known prophets, Habakkuk, in a lovely verse puts it like this: though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes in the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And so harvest is never really to be just a celebration of our comfort and our security, because God is not that kind of God. And the Jews, through history, at this time of the year, have lived in tents to celebrate their harvest precisely to remind themselves of that. But of course, it goes further. At synagogue worship, particularly during Sukkot, there is the tradition whereby people carry into the synagogue date palm branches tied together with willow and myrtle and with a citrus fruit rather like a lemon called an etrog. And this whole combination is referred to in Hebrew as a lulav. And you can read about it in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. And it says this, it says, you shall take for yourself on the first day of the festival the fruit of citrus trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the wood. But what then happens is that this lola, this contraption, is waved in all directions. And this is a symbol to show that God's power and God's goodness and God's love and God's mercy are to be found everywhere. And they must be found everywhere in the world. What is more, God's goodness must be brought everywhere. We have that responsibility for others. At this time, We know we have the responsibility to be good citizens, to be responsible neighbours, to be generous friends, but also to be responsible for the wider world. There are people starving and diseased from the day they were born, for whom any notion of God's providence must seem very unreal and really only a matter of theory. And why? Because we, people like you and me, don't accept that God has handed to us the responsibility to bring his care and his provision of sufficient food and medicine for the whole world, and we have the responsibility to bring that into the world. We have sufficient food in the world. We have the means of communication and transport in ways that our previous generations could never have dreamt of, to bring food to areas where they are needed and medicines to where they are needed. We live in what is, by the standards of the world, a very wealthy country. We have the technology to help others to be self-sufficient in other countries. And in a way, our failure is precisely the point which the biblical accounts of this festival of succour are making. That harvests are for everybody, not just the fortunate few. Again, in the Hebrew scriptures, Deuteronomy has this reminder, you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your family and your servants. And then it goes on. The foreigners and the orphans and the widows are to be part of that celebration. A clear message that harvest is not just about us. And so, you and I, here today, are to remember our dependence on God in every situation. And it is lovely to be with you today. Thank you very much indeed for your nice welcome. It's lovely to be here in Crosshaven. I think I was here many years ago. I think it was at a harvest during the time of Patrick Lawrence, but it wasn't the same sermon for those of you who probably remembered it, for those of you who didn't. However, you and I are called to be here to celebrate harvest as we do every year. Perhaps this year gives us a particular opportunity to remember that our dependence on God is for good or ill, for security and also for insecurity, and that we are to show our dependence on God by sharing with those around us our love and our care in this country, as well as for those abroad, the homeless, the starving, the diseased, the refugees. And so in a way, we're called to leave behind the decorations and to go back into the wilderness, to go back into the desert. Because as Christians, you and I know that without Jesus Christ, we have no resources, we have no security, we have nothing, and indeed we are none. And every day, we turn back to God for faith. Thank him for what he's given us, to remind ourselves that it is not our right, and that it has only been lent to us to share with others, and that whatever we try to hang on to, selfishly, because we won't trust God, is something which in the end will be useless. We'll be saying soon, give us this day our daily bread, because that is all that you and I dare ask. So, next Friday, and perhaps for the week, give some thought to the festival of Succor. Succor, the little hut, the little tent, the lowlife, the boughs that have waved in all directions. And remember that they, in many ways, represent the real harvest, the recalling of our need of God every day of our lives, but also our responsibility to God, and our responsibility to other people and to the world that God has entrusted to us, that God has lent to us. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, for that challenge in the sermon. And I'd like to invite us all to go outside, leave the lovely flowers, and
we'll head out in a distanced manner and complete our service together outside. To challenging words, let us declare our faith in God. We believe that creation is a gift of God, an expression of our Creator's goodness. We believe as human beings we are part of this creation and that we share in the creative power of God. We believe that the resources of our land and air are precious gifts from our Creator to be used with loving care. We believe there is a rhythm to God's creation, like a drumbeat. When we lose the beat or the drum is damaged, the music is out of tune. And let us pray together as we pray for ourselves and for others and our world. Creating and loving God, you have given us a good earth and a wonderful life. May we use the resources of the earth well and respect all creation, helping all who have need, especially the poor and struggling. Lord of all creation, hear our prayer. Creating and loving God, we thank you for the beauty and the balance of our world, for the mystery and wonders of creation. May your church help to show people that the world belongs to you by its words and also by its example. Lord of all creation, hear our prayer. Creating and loving God, we thank you for our homes and loved ones. Help us to respect all who work to provide for our needs. We pray for all who work in farming and in industries providing our food. May we always remember that all good comes from you and be grateful. Lord of all creation, hear our prayer. Creating and loving God, give us strength for this challenging time. We pray for your love and compassion to abound as we walk through this challenging season. We ask for wisdom for those who bear the load of making decisions with widespread consequences. We pray for those who are suffering with sickness and all who are caring for them. We ask for protection for the elderly and vulnerable, not to succumb to the risks of the virus. We pray for misinformation to be curbed, that fear may take no hold in hearts and minds. As we exercise the good sense that you in all your mercy provide, may we also approach each day in faith and peace, trusting in the truth of your goodness towards us. Lord of all creation, hear our prayer. All these our prayers and praises let us now present before our Heavenly Father in the prayer our Saviour Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing together our closing hymn, and I think it's appropriate since we're distanced to take off our masks to sing. We plough the fields and scatter. It'll be a bit strange coming through the sound, but sure, we'll give it a go. I forgot how high it was.
strength to the white shores of history.
Amen.
God, the Son who redeems the world, inspire you to go out as laborers into his cause.
Amen.
God, the Holy Spirit, whose breath fills the whole of creation, help you to bear his fruit of love, joy, and peace.
Amen.
In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Below.